In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, and reads as follows. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 444. gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, and reads as follows. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou, my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verses 22 through 26, and reads as follows. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, in last Sunday's sermon, we focused upon how the Holy Ghost converts the heart of man through the power of his word. The law of God having the power to crush man's pride, expose his utter sinfulness, and his need for a Savior. And then the gospel having the power to bring faith into the heart, to bring a person to saving faith in the Lord Jesus as his only possible Savior from sin. That is what God intends his word to do. But sadly, the word of God does not always accomplish those ends. In our sermon text for today, we have an example of one who heard the word of God directly from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, and he was not converted by that preaching. The reason was not that the hearer slept through the sermon, or mocked the preacher, or despised, really, the word that was given him, laughing at it for its foolishness. No, he didn't do any of that. The hearer actually paid close attention and was deeply moved by Paul's preaching. His conscience told him that he was indeed guilty, that what he heard about his own sinfulness from the law of God was absolutely true. But he pushed it away. He didn't want to listen anymore to it. He didn't want to think about those uncomfortable truths anymore. That is what happened with Felix, the unjust judge, the governor, the Roman governor of Judea at that time. And sadly, it is very common with people that we talk to today, people who are proud and impenitent, who need to hear the law of God. But when we bring them that law, they just shut it down, and they don't want to listen. Let us therefore this morning, on the basis of our text, consider as our theme how man by nature knows God's law, but still turns from it. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that the law of God strikes a responsive chord within natural man. And secondly, that natural man still generally turns away from the law. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Because the Apostle Paul had great success in spreading the gospel, particularly among the Gentiles, many Jews resented that, got quite upset with the Apostle Paul, wanted to kill him. there was a big riot in Jerusalem against the Apostle Paul, which forced the Romans to step in and arrest the innocent Paul as if he were a disturber of the peace. Then, after a plot to kill Paul was discovered, the chief captain, named Lysias, arranged for him to be transported to Caesarea, where the Apostle Paul was put on trial before the Roman governor, Felix, a successor of Pontius Pilate. Following that trial, which is described in the first part of this chapter, the verses that come just before our text, Felix decided to keep Paul as a prisoner until he could talk more with Lysias, who again was that chief captain who arranged for his transport to Caesarea. We read in the first verse of our text, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.'" So based on what we're told here in the first verse of our text, Felix did have some knowledge of the Christian religion. He had more complete knowledge, more perfect knowledge than what was simply revealed in that trial, possibly being informed by his predecessor, Pilate, about the crucifixion of Jesus and what was involved with the Jews at that time, possibly also hearing these things from his wife, who was a Jew. In the next verse of our text, we see that though Paul was being held as a prisoner, the centurion who was put in charge over him was told to grant him a fair amount of freedom, freedom of movement, and also freedom to receive visitors. We read, "And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him." Now, one of the reasons why Felix gave Paul access to his friends was because he was hoping that through those friends, Paul might be able to pass along a bribe to Felix. We read in verse 26, the last verse of our text, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him." So clearly, Felix was more interested in money than in promoting justice as the Roman governor. And from other non-biblical historical sources, we learn that Felix had taken his wife Drusilla from another man to whom she had been previously married. So Felix was a man who needed to hear the law of God and to repent of his sins. He was about to have an excellent opportunity, for he sent for the Apostle Paul to hear him preach. We read in our text, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." So we see that the Apostle Paul did not take this opportunity merely to talk about the Christian religion in general. Rather, he powerfully applied the law of God directly to Felix. Our text says that the topics covered by Paul with Felix were righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Those topics were all taken from the law of God, and they were most appropriate in this particular situation. They were aimed at the very heart of Felix, and he felt the impact. Our text says that Felix trembled. The Apostle Paul did not mince any words. He did not flatter Felix or try to get the governor to become his friend so that he would favorably treat him and maybe release him. Paul's main goal was to get Felix to understand his sinfulness, his need for a Savior, his need for Jesus. Our text says that he reasoned with Felix concerning righteousness, God's requirement of absolute perfection and holiness. he reasoned with Felix about temperance, self-control, moderation in regard to his fleshly appetites, his passions, his desires, his pursuits and enjoyments, the necessity of keeping his lusts in check. And he reasoned with Felix about the judgment to come, speaking to him of the time when he and all people must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and how the unbelievers at that time will receive the judgment and condemnation of everlasting damnation in hell. Though it is highly unlikely that Felix and Drusilla would ever have attended a Christian service in a Christian church, even if they heard that the Apostle Paul was going to be preaching, yet on this occasion, the Lord God sent them a preacher, one of the best preachers in the world, a preacher whose very words were God-breathed. What an important opportunity this was. And the Apostle Paul confronted the Roman governor with the law of God, its strict requirements of righteousness and temperance, confronted him with the threats of God's wrath in the judgment to come. And what was the result of all that preaching? Again, our text says, Felix trembled. He felt personally convicted in his heart. He had to admit that what he heard was true. He felt convicted as a sinner before God. So, Felix was beginning to feel terrors of conscience. That is exactly what the law of God is supposed to do. Such terrors of conscience is crucial for a person to feel and experience before he's ready to hear the gospel of God's grace and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Unless a person despairs of his own power, his own strength, his own virtues, he'll despise the grace of God in Christ. And it is only the holy law of God through which the Holy Ghost works such terrors of conscience, troubles the heart, by which a person is prepared for the hearing of the gospel. We should follow this fine example of the Apostle Paul in our text. Whenever we're talking to the proud and impenitent, we're to preach the law to them in order that they too might tremble with fear at the thought of God's punishments. That, of course, is the purpose of the law, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is to bring them to Christ. But first, the law is to make them tremble with fear in understanding their sins and how much they need a Savior. But sadly, as so often happens, though the law had struck a responsive chord within Felix, the Roman governor did not repent, but simply sent the Apostle Paul away. We read in our text, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul's desire, as was also the Lord's desire, was that Felix would humble himself and repent of his sins, and then he could hear the gospel. But he did not do that. Instead, he stopped the messenger of the Lord and sent him away. Felix did not like the way Paul was making him feel, and he really didn't want to feel that way again. But by turning away from the preaching of God's word, he was fighting against the one thing that could actually help him, that actually could have brought him relief from his troubled conscience. He could have heard the gospel of God's grace and forgiveness in Christ. But he didn't want to hear any more. And the Roman governor personally saw to it that no convenient season ever came for him to go down that uncomfortable path again that he had started through the hearing of God's word. That does not, however, mean that Felix never saw or talked to the Apostle Paul again. In fact, they talked quite often. We learn in the last verse of our text that he called for Paul, but not to hear the word being preached to him. We read in the last verse, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." So the point is made very clearly in our text that Felix did not arrange these meetings to continue hearing about the word of God, but so that he might get a bribe. And he wanted Paul to know that he was open. He was open to take some money to release him. And that shows that Felix had completely quieted his conscience at that point. He had raised his fleshly defenses against Paul's preaching. He didn't even care that justice would be done. An unbelieving governor who really wanted to pursue justice would let an innocent man go or keep a guilty person locked up. He wouldn't make a deal to release a guilty person if money is provided, or hold an innocent man until he had received a bribe. But again, Felix was clearly much more interested in money than in justice. Now consider the words with which Felix shut down and dismissed the Apostle Paul. He said, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." That is the very dangerous language of spiritual procrastination. Putting off what is needed for one's welfare, one's spiritual welfare. Putting it off till some undetermined later time. And that is, sad to say, very common. Desiring the salvation of sinners, the Lord God earnestly wants and invites all people to come to him and learn about Jesus, their only Savior from sin and hell. But for as obviously important as that message is, all important, yet the vast majority of people seem unconcerned and put it off. Put off the needs of their immortal souls to some future time, and saying things like, "Well, it's all too soon right now. I don't want to get into that now. I'm too busy right now. It's not convenient right now." So many think, "Well, that's at some later date, maybe they'll try to get right with God after they've had their fun, after they've enjoyed life to the fullest, pursuing all their fleshly lusts." Yes, in the meantime, sin, worldliness, unbelief take top priority. And their hearts are chained, bound in spiritual blindness for a convenient season that never comes. The Lord God and his word should be top priority, not something that we push down further and further on our list of important things to do. The scriptures declare, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And again, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The time that God has given a person to live here on this earth is what we sometimes call the person's time of grace. And during that time, the Lord desires to convert the unbelievers, to reconvert those who had been Christians but then forsook the faith. Also, during this time, it is important that we who are Christians stay vigilant and active, fighting against the temptations of the devil, the world, and our flesh. And we must not waste this important time or neglect the things that pertain to our spiritual strengthening. We must not think that it's safe to continue living in sin or unbelief, thinking that we can just repent at the very last second. Right now is the time when God's grace is being offered to you. Right now is the time for you to be growing in your faith. Yes, during this time of God's rich grace among us, we should be directing our energies to growing in faith and in good works, studying the scriptures, meditating upon the gospel, serving God, serving our neighbor in love. The Lord does not want us to waste the time that God has given us. On the contrary, he tells us to pass the time of our sojourning here on earth in godly fear, honoring him with our life as a fruit of our saving faith in Jesus. This is how we show our thankfulness for the gracious blessings that he's provided us, how he's brought us to saving faith in him, made us his believing children, made us heirs of heaven. May we never take those priceless blessings for granted or become forgetful of them. Indeed, may it never be said of us what our text says of Felix, how he dismissed the word of God as being preached to him by the Apostle Paul, putting it off, putting off the most important thing for some future uncertain time that would be more convenient. Procrastination in spiritual matters is extremely dangerous. And it can look like all kinds of different things. It can look like just putting off coming to church, putting off reading and studying his word, putting off your responsibilities as a Christian parent, putting off your responsibilities as a Christian child, putting off the study of your assignments in Sunday school and catechism, putting off your responsibilities as a member of the church, and so on. Procrastination in spiritual matters tends to increase ungodly habits. It makes very poor use of the time that God has given you. Putting off the Lord is utter foolishness. It works against your current spiritual welfare, and it threatens to destroy your eternal happiness. Do not let things that pertain to your eternal happiness, your eternal salvation, ever take a back seat in your life. The consistent use of God's word and sacrament, the regular assembling together with your fellow Christians for public worship and Bible classes, having regular devotions and prayers with your families, these things should not be forced to coincide with your convenience only insofar as it doesn't interfere with the other things you want to do. As long as it doesn't interfere with your job, your ambitions, your worldly plans, pleasures, and so on. Remember every day who it is who gives you life and breath. And beware of procrastination in spiritual matters. You should not want to postpone or push away from yourself anything that relates to your soul's salvation, anything concerning the Lord and his word. On the contrary, out of love for Jesus, your precious Savior, seek to grow daily, grow stronger in your Christian faith, become a more consistent Christian. In this way, follow your gracious Lord and Master as he leads you in the path of true righteousness through his word, for his precious name's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy gracious blessings of body and soul, which Thou hast so abundantly showered upon the families and individual members of our congregation. And we pray that Thou wouldst bless these offerings which we now place before Thee, that Thy gracious presence may continue to dwell among us and our families for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who searchest all hearts and knowest all thoughts, whose eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, grant us now, as we approach the throne of Thy grace, true humility and repentance. We entreat Thee, remember not the sins of our youth or our many transgressions, but according unto Thy tender mercies and for the sake of Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten Son, pardon all our iniquities. Grant unto us true understanding of Thy word, that we may be guided in all judgment and be shown the way that leads to everlasting life. Keep before our eyes the warning and admonition of Thy holy word. Enable us to learn by the example set forth what things we ought to do and what things Thou hast forbidden and wilt most surely punish. And help us to obey Thy commandments with joy out of love for Thee. Glorify Thy name in all the earth, and send forth men to proclaim the gospel with wisdom, love, and boldness, so that multitudes out of every nation shall call upon Thy name and be saved. And to this end, bless our seminary for the training of such true Christian pastors, that in the years to come, Thy word may still be proclaimed among us in all its truth and purity, for the edifying of Christ's holy people, and for the instruction of many unto life everlasting. Accordingly, we also ask Thee to bless Pastor Leitz and his congregation in Oak Park. If it be Thy will, grant him the physical strength and stamina needed to continue doing the work that Thou hast given him in the congregation. We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger of body or soul. Especially do we pray for our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Grant them Thy gracious presence in all their afflictions, and show them the way out of all their troubles through Christ, and save them for Thy mercy's sake. Heavenly Father, who didst not spare Thy dear Son, but didst freely deliver Him up for us all, mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions which Thou readest in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. And in His name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, thou heavenly friend, be thou always near us with thy help and comfort as we struggle with those things which seem bitter to us in this world of sin and misery. When our faith weakens and fails us, dear Lord, stretch forth thy gracious hand, forgive us all our sins and iniquities with which we offend thee daily, and grant us thy help to bear the burdens of each day with childlike trust and humility. Let not Satan or our sinful flesh cause us to murmur and complain about our lot in life, but find all the comfort and encouragement we need day by day in thy word. O thou that liveth and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 5 of hymn 278.